Blue shirts. Me and Chris got it. I don't know about the rest of you, but, you know, Rich was close. It's good. Polo, you know. Anyway, something interesting happens when you go to... Oh, wow. See? Interesting. Anyway, something interesting happens when you go to watch certain videos or movies. Every once in a while, you'll get a real good one. Okay, something that just grabs your attention. Something that you're just in awe of. Well, for that, last night, for me, was The Wizard of Oz. I know, as odd as that is, because, you know, there's magical things and whatnot. But the storyline is actually really, I guess, in a way, a good one. Partially just to say, if you've seen the new one, you know, it starts off and it's got like a smaller screen. It's, you know, black and white. Kind of puts you into an older time period, I guess, is what they're going for. And then when it gets to The Wizard of Oz, there's all this colorful stuff. The screen gets bigger, and you just kind of engulfs you into this magical land, so to say. There towards the end, not to spoil it for you, but there is a point... I can. So, I'll try that again. Anyway, towards the end, you know, there's this battle between good and evil, so to say. And the Wizard of Oz is trying to get rid of the Wicked Witch, okay? And there's a part where he says, "You are always welcome back if you ever go and decide to change your ways." You know, basically coming back to the good side. You know, something about that just inspired me, you know? Something about that just makes you want to go out and just be like, yes. You know, there's tons of evil out in this world, but you know what? You're welcome back at any time you want to change your ways. So, basically, inspiration. You know, where does that come from? You know, there's a lot of things that we can say that it comes from. You can get it from sports. Maybe it's some kind of like, you know, a football game. Maybe you see this guy about to get tackled and like people are piling up. And then all of a sudden you realize, why are they piling up? Because the guy that they're supposed to be piling up is already at the touchdown zone. Somehow he got out. And it was some kind of great feat that you just, you know, you didn't see happening. And then you get inspired and you're like, man, that was awesome. And, you know, you slap the person beside you, you know, and high five wise. And then you go to give the other guy and he's like, oh, he's not on that same team, you know. But, you know, all the time that you're doing this, you get inspired. There's something that each person has inside of you that you can be inspired. Something that helps you get to the point that you want to do that. You want to do something more. You are encouraged. Well, one of those things is in Psalms 27:14. That is in Psalms. I'm looking it up as I talk. Psalms 27:14. All right. Which says, "Wait for the Lord, be strong, and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord." Now, some people will say, okay, Jared, you just talk about all this inspiration and going out and doing something, and, you know, but now you're telling me to wait for the Lord. Okay, what's going on? All right, the whole idea is obviously without the Lord, we are very limited. In fact, I would say we are able to do nothing. There's nothing that we could even do without him. I mean, he gave us the breath of life. We would be just dust without him, you know. Kind of like pottery, we'd just be, you know, something molded, but that would be it. But because of his animating breath of life, we were able to become who we are today. But it does say, wait for the Lord, be strong, and let your heart take courage, and wait for the Lord. There are things that when we do wait on the God, and his good timing is perfect. Sometimes we are exactly where we need to be to be, you know, think about, you know, recently the Boston bombing. Unfortunately, all that happened. However, you know, you can see this tragedy. You can see and you can look at all the evil that was done. You can look at the two people that they found and how they've, you know, are taking care of that. And now you can look at all the people that have lost their lives. And you can see all the tragicness. But you know what I like to look at is all the amazing people that came afterwards. You know, the fact that I was listening to K-Love on the radio, it's just, I always enjoy that station, so that's what I usually listen to. But they were talking about afterwards here in Nashville that there was a 5K run and how they thought that it was just going to be a belly flop. You know, it's just going to go down the drain, that nobody is going to go to run now because of what happened in Boston. But right, the opposite happened. In fact, they had more people sign up for than ever. In fact, it was a record-breaking one for Nashville's run. And then you look at, you know, after the bombing, how everybody, you know, it was closed off and people couldn't get to the hotels. People were opening up their homes. Random strangers saying, hey, you can come in here. I know you don't have a place. You can stay with us. We'll feed you. We know you don't have clothing. We got extra. You know, people of good and sincere hearts helping out one another. You know, a lot of the time we see the world as a very evil place, mostly because, well, what do you see on the news? You know, that's pretty much it. You only hear about the bad. You don't always hear about the amazing stories that can inspire somebody. That, you know, for instance, one of the things that I like is Dove commercials. Dove commercials, they are very inspiring to me because they don't, you know, they're saying, you know, beauty's okay. You know, it's all right to do the makeup and it's okay to, you know, use this type of soap. But the whole idea that they really want to promote is that the beauty comes from the inside. And then they're kind of bashing all these, like, you know, I don't know, the advertisings to make your eyes, you know, look, you know, eyelashes longer or make your lips puff out or whatever it is. And they actually go to inspire the inner beauty and say, you know, look at this person and how amazing they are just because of who they are, you know, just because God made them that way. And to me, that's amazing. Or they had that other commercial where, you know, you're walking around in New York and somebody bumps you and they drop all their paperwork. And, you know, wind's about to start blowing. You can kind of see the papers, you know, rustling. And this person comes up, starts helping the person who dropped their papers, pick them up. And, you know, well, somebody sees that. Well, the next thing you know that they're helping somebody. And eventually it comes back all the way around to the guy who originally helped out the first time in the need that he needed. You know, stuff like that is inspirational to me. It's something that I love to see. And I'd much rather see that than something evil. You know, it's just the company that you surround yourself with is what your heart is going to be like. You know, if you surround yourself with bad people, it's easier to do bad things. If you surround yourself with good people, it's a lot easier to do good things. And my mindset is the same with the music now. You know, I used to listen to all these other songs and whatnot, but now I'm getting to the point where I've realized, why? Why do that? Why can't, you know, listen to something encouraging, something that's positive, and then your life becomes better, oddly, you know? But it's because you think more positive. You get in that mindset. In fact, I was listening to something the other day that they were saying that, you know, that they used to eat a particular type of food, and they were so used to eating all this bad junk and like, you know, candy and whatever all the time, and they realized that they needed to change their life, so they started trying to eat all the healthy stuff that they did not like. But oddly, within about 3 to 6 months, they realized that actually now they start to like the food that they used to think was terrible. You know, stuff like, for me, would be green beans. You know, I don't like green beans. I don't like all these zucchinis. Squash. I mean, I'm just like, no, that's no. They put it in baby food because they have to eat it when they're small. I'm done. But, you know, honestly, when it comes down to it, those are good, healthy things. And, you know, that would be something good to take a part of. So sometimes we have to realize that we can be inspired in a way to be called to action, but we need to wait on the Lord to do those things. You can see the good in people, but sometimes you just have to wait and then, you know, and be called when needed and also go wherever that is. Also, inspiration then calls for action, okay? You can be inspired, but if you do nothing about it, then okay, you got inspired. That's good. Now, you know, but action, when you're inspired, you know, can lead to greatness, okay? For instance, you know, the dear Lord even said to his disciples, he said, you know, to him, he said, come follow me. You know, they were inspired. They saw the greatness is when he told them to throw the nets over on this side of the boat. And they're like, you know, they've been fishing all day and they're probably tired. I mean, they were already cleaning up and getting everything ready. And he said, no, let's go back out, cast your net on this side. And you know, for me, it'd be like, yeah, all right, Jesus, you're going to catch some fish. All right, yeah, maybe a minnow. You know, you kind of get that mindset. But when they couldn't even pull the net back because there was so much fish, they were inspired. Now, when they get back to the shore, you know, this is probably the biggest catch they've ever had their whole entire life, would be my guess. And I'm sure it would be, because God doesn't do anything really small, you know what I'm saying? If he does it, it's big, no matter what it is. So when they're getting back, and he says, you know, come follow me, they're leaving all of that they just, that's all they knew. And now he's telling them to go. So not only were they inspired, but they realized there's more than just being inspired. There's an action that can be called. So they go and follow. And if you want to go to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 through 5. Let's see. It'd be 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 through 5. It says, I charge you in the presence of God and of Jesus Christ, who is to judge the living and the dead by the appearance of and in his kingdom. Preach the word, be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. For the time is coming when the people will not endure sound teaching, but have itching ears to accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions. And it will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. As for you, always be sober-minded, endure suffering, and do the work of an evangelist, fulfilling your ministry. And if you think about it, it's, you know, this was written to Timothy quite a bit of time ago, almost roughly around 2,000 years, okay? Yet, you know, it seems that we have that same exact generation. There's a lot of people that do not listen to the truth. There's a lot of people that rather go and do what they would rather do. In fact, you know, it's not really that different in a lot of worship settings. You know, they're like, oh, well, this is more comfortable for me, or I'd much rather hear this person preach. And then when they go to leave, half the congregation goes with them, you know. And instead of realizing some of the ideas that, honestly, it's not about us. It was never about us. It's always been about God. He chose us, and he's blessed us, and he gave his son for us. But it's always been about him. If there's one main story that you can get out of the Bible from the beginning to the end, that's Jesus. I mean, he's there at the beginning, and he's been there through the you know, all the, you know, he was the rock that they talked about that sprung forth water. He was there talking to Abraham. He was there all the way through, and then he comes and actually lives his life on this earth as a man, and grows up in the statures of how we would all grow up. And then he gets to the point where he's, you know, around 30 and starts doing his ministry. In fact, his first miracle wasn't even one that he really wanted to do, but he loved his, you know, us so much and his mom that he actually did what she said about making the water into wine. But that was not supposed to be his first miracle. You know, that was not one that he was, you know, he even kind of was like, look, you know, they're not ready for me yet. So, you know, you can kind of see that there would have been something else that he already had in mind. But he loved us so much and his mom that he wanted to do what they desire. So, yes, the biggest story that goes through the whole Bible is Jesus. Because then he gets to the point where he dies on that cross to save us from our sins. But without him, we could not be. So, anyway. Then, so we got this inspiration and we got action, but let's look at one thing that's a key factor, and we kind of touched on it, but in an indirect way, and that's going to be in 1 Corinthians 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, all right, and there at the beginning it says, if I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I'm a noisy gong and a clanking cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so to remove mountains but have not love, I am nothing. If I give all that I have away, and if I deliver up my body to be burnt but have not love, I've gained nothing. Love is patient and is kind. It loves, does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. Because love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. Because love never ends. And as prophecies, they will pass away. And as for tongues, they will cease. And as for knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part the prophecy in part, but when the perfect comes, the partial will pass away. Because when I was a child, I spoke as a child, I thought as a child, I reasoned like a child, but when I became a man, I gave up my childish ways. For now I see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part that I shall know fully, even as I have been fully known. So now faith, hope, and love abide in these three, but the greatest of them is love. You know, it's a really beautiful passage, because one of the greatest things when you think about it is, you know, without love, there is nothing. You know, why be inspired? Why go be called to action if you don't have love? Because then it'd be pointless. I mean, there's tons of things that he was talking about in there about, you know, being like a noisy gong, or why give yourself up for a sacrifice if you don't have love? We can do all the things that we want to do, but without love, it's going to be pointless. I mean, there's tons of good people. You know, we always say, oh, well, these are good people. You know, that doesn't mean necessarily they're Christians. And sometimes we, you know, that's our job to, and that's what I like to call first. You know, people are like, oh, well, what, you know, what's your longest job you've ever kept? I'm like, well, probably been a Christian since I was about, you know, 13 years old. So quite so many years now, you know, that's always been my first job. And I mean it in the most loving way, because I think it is one of the greatest jobs to ever have. I mean, the thought of getting a reward that is in heaven that nobody can demolish, a fact that you can, really, it's one of the easiest things to do, to just go and talk to people about Jesus. I mean, if that was all you had to do was get paid, okay? And I'm talking about like huge amounts of money or cars or whatever you needed that was given to you just to go talk to people. Who would not want that job? I mean, really, that would be one of the greatest jobs ever given. And really, that's what this is. It's a Christian walk that you have on a daily thing. Now, you might not get it as here on earth, but it's definitely that easy just to go talk, you know. I remember the first time I went to get up to preach. Well, actually, I can go back farther than that. I remember the first time I went to go say a prayer in front of the congregation. I was red in the face. I was nervous. I could feel the heat. I remember the blood just, I felt like it was right here in my face. You know, I just remembered all this anxiety. And I was had my eyes closed. And I was just praying. I was looking down. And, you know, it's not that big a deal, but it was huge amount of scariness to me. And then my next step was to try to read the Bible. Well, let me tell you, there's many things that I do up here, and it's I might make it look easy right now, but it's not. When I first got up, and I remember I just looked at the words, and I just kept staring at the words, and when I was done, I walked off the stage. I didn't look at nobody, because I was like, oh, these people are going to be looking at me. It made me feel really awkward. Now, I realize it doesn't matter, because as long as I'm talking about God, that's one thing we all have in common. That's one thing that I don't have to be afraid to talk about, because in all honesty, it's the best thing to talk about, because what he's done for us. All right, now we get into a little bit of the rest of the lesson, and we already kind of talked about without love, we're nothing. But what is love? I know we kind of talked about it in 1 Corinthians, but let's go to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 24. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 24. And this is just another idea. But it says, grace be to all who love our Lord Jesus Christ with love that's incorruptible. Okay? This love is something that is indestructible. It's undeniable. It's something that we are actually able to grasp. But that it is incorruptible is an amazing thing. Because a lot of things, like, you know, if you put metal outside too long while it rains, it's going to get rust. If you, you know, if you see, and I don't mean to be gruesome about this, but if you see a dead animal on the road, eventually it's going to, you know, disintegrate. Okay, it's going to disappear. I know. You get all these different things that are going to pass away and that are able to be very vulnerable to a certain element that it's weak to. Obviously, we're weak to metal objects, you know, like a needle or bullets or something like that. We're not Superman, okay? So when it comes down to it, love itself, though, is incorruptible. And that's just an amazing thing. You know, you think about all the evil that's out in this world, and you think about how you see it all the time on the news and on the TV and politics. Goodness gracious, you know, all kinds of things are just corruptible. Except for love, that's amazing. You know, because that means that love is going to win. And we know that God is love. So we can at least put our, you know, think about it this way. If you were going to invest in something, if you knew that, you know, this was going to be a for sure deal, you had no doubt in your mind, in fact, it was a guarantee, why wouldn't you put all your stock into it? Because you know that the benefit that you're going to get back out of it would be unbelievable. In fact, you know, they kind of talk about it a little bit about, you know, this treasure. It's like a man that walks on a field and found this treasure, and he sold everything he had just so he could buy the land where this treasure was. All right? That's incredible. And that's what this treasure is for us. This love. If we go and stock everything we have into God, it is going to be so worth it. It's going to be better than anything that we could ever imagine or even come up with ourselves. In fact, even it talks about in heaven that, you know, the streets are like gold. It doesn't say that the streets are gold, but they're like gold. In fact, everything that he talks about is so beautiful, but he can't fully relate to it because he's trying to give us stuff that we can relate to, but it's so far and greater than what even he can explain. In fact, if we even tried to imagine it right now all together, we couldn't even come up with it of how amazing of a place. I mean, think about it. You know, I used to talk this to the kids at school. I told them, I said, you know, you've been doing education probably since you were 3 years old, and you're going to go and probably do it till you're about 25, maybe even longer if you do like a doctorate degree or something like that. I said, but you've done all this education, all so you can get what? And they're like, a job. I was like, that's right. I said, why do you want a job? They're like, oh, because then we can make a living and, you know, have money. And I was like, okay, why do you want all this money? And they're like, well, so we can retire. I was like, okay, why do you want to retire? They're like, so we can sit around and not do anything. You know, that's kind of what they was going towards. And I was like, okay, so I said, what's the life expectancy? They're like, oh, it's, you know, 85. I said, okay. I said, so you've been doing all this stuff, working all the way up to what age of retirement? They're like, 65. I was like, okay, so roughly for about 20 years, you're going to be able to do nothing and have all this money for what? And they're like, well, you know, so we can sit around and do nothing. And I was like, okay, let's put this in a different perspective. I said, what happens if you took all that years of education, if you took all that time that you did for your job, and all that time that you were planning all for retirement, what happens if I told you that if you put that stock and that amount of time into learning and teaching others about heaven, how much greater a retirement that would be, and how much better benefits would you get? I said, you know, because right now you're doing this for about, you know, 20 years worth of retirement, and then you're going to pass away, and then all the stuff that you've done and you worked so hard for is going to get taken away. You can't take it with you. You're done, okay? But if you put the stock into something that truly is worth doing, then think about what greatness and what awesome things that you'll receive in heaven as a reward because you took that amount of time that actually is worth something. You know, education is only important to the need that is there. You know, for instance, this is a, you know, a podium of sorts. But you know, in China, this is called something else. If I went over to China and said, oh, look at this podium, how many people do you think they would actually understand what I was saying? Probably not many, unless they just happen to be second language of English. But, you know, it's all relevant of what is to be smart. It's only relevant to the situation. You know, I might not be, you know, a pharmacist. I probably couldn't tell you what you need to take for certain elements, but I can tell you a lot of different things about guitar. I can tell you, you know, how to make these certain hand gestures on certain strings and make you play a certain note, you know. But if you know, that's all you needed to know, and everybody, let's say everybody wanted to play guitar, and I was going to show you all, that right there makes me a genius in a way, because I know something that you are wanting to know, and so it's relevant, okay? So the whole idea is to me, is that when we have something that we're able to give people that they truly need, then we have that ability, and it's something that it's not hard to grasp. It's something that everybody truly desires. You know, everybody wants love. I mean, I can't tell you one person that says, oh yeah, I think I'm going to die single. I think that would be the greatest thing ever, and I don't want any interaction with anybody, so if you would stop talking to me, that'd be great. You know, something like that. You don't hear that. Or I don't want any friends. I don't think I want any friends. If I could do without friends, that would be great. Or I don't need anything. I don't want anything from anybody. I don't want gifts. I don't know. That kind of sounds like a very depressed, very sad person, okay, to me. And I would want to give them a hug, which they would probably want to reject. But the whole thing to me is God freely gives. Not only does he freely give love, which is one of the biggest things that people look for. I mean, I can tell you how many people are looking for a so-called love. I mean, divorce right now in America is huge. I mean, I think it's over 50% right now, unfortunately. And it's usually if you make it past 7 years, you're doing good. Usually 7 years is when they find out that that's when they don't want to be with that person anymore. Some of the times that we look at, you know, these type of situations, you know, you wonder, why did you even get married in the first place? They're like, oh, well, you know, we love them. Well, what is love to them? Sometimes it's because they have money. Sometimes it's that they look good. You know, my grandparents, they've been together for I don't even know how long. It seems obviously longer than I've been alive. But, you know, the beauty of it is you know, even as old as they are now, they still, I can see that they love each other. And it's not something of what they do for one another. It's because they freely give it. If you know, it's kind of like love really is a one-way street. Love has never been a two-way street. But everybody thinks, oh, well, if I love them, they're going to love me back. You know, they kind of get that mindset. But love has never been a two-way street. It's always been one direction. Because what does it say? God loved us first. He loves us regardless of who we are, where we've been, whatever, or what we have done. You know, we can't earn his love. There's no way, you know, we want to give back, you know, if you truly feel that God is blessed you, you want to give back, but God gives it freely. I mean, think about his son. He gave his son to die on the cross to save us from our sins without us asking, without us doing anything in return. He already gave it. He thought about the people in the past, the time that were right there with them, and the people in the future. And I'm sure that each and one, every one of us went through his mind at some point, you know. So we can definitely see that this love is an incorruptible love. It's never failing. So now we get into the idea is if we're encouraged, if we're inspired, and now we're called to action, and then we know what love is, and actually truly how to love, as hopefully God loved us, then we can encourage each other. Because see, that's the hard part. As cool as it is being to be inspired, as much as I love that, like, you know, just the whole idea of righteousness and justice coming through, you know, Avengers, I love that. I love the Avengers because it was able to take care of the bad guys. You know, you didn't have to worry about them anymore. They always would win. You had some kind of, you know, just, you wanted to go out and take out bad guys, you know. To me, that was just where I was. Or like with the Wizard of Oz, you wanted to make sure that the land was cleansed of all this evil. And you just get inspired, and you want to go help people, and you want to go do this and that. And then all of a sudden, well, the next day comes, and you're like, you know, it's back to the working grind, and, you know, you're just another day. And you kind of lose that memento, okay? Well, there's a thing that I like to say to us about such things and being able to not being as encouraged to be inspired. And this would help. Is look around in this room and notice something. Each and every one of us can encourage one another to keep that inspiration going. That's the beauty of it. You know, it's one thing if you're trying to do it by yourself. It's one thing to realize that, oh, if I was just to go out and do this, you know, it seems like the whole world is against you. But the people that are closest to you right now in this room, all in here, you can look at any, and of course, obviously we have a few of them missing because of camp, but I know that they're included in this, are all encouragers. Why come to this church? Why meet and gather here? Because we can be encouraging to one another. That's why you probably show up here all the time, because you feel that somebody here is encouraging you. Somebody here cares about you. Somebody here wants you to be here. And when you're not here, you're missed. I think that there's a lot of things that we can do to inspire one another. You know, there's a lot of things that we can do to fill that role. When we feel inspired and ready to go and do something, isn't it great when somebody else is like, yeah, let's do that. Let's go and do whatever we're going to do, because that sounds awesome. You know, it's so much easier when you got somebody else on your side and when they're encouraging back, and you can bank that off of one another. You can feel the joy that's going back. You know, if you ever get into, you know, whatever you're into, let's say you're into computers, or if you're into, you know, music, or if you're into shopping, whatever it is, it's so much easier to go with someone that's in that same role. Well, luckily, if we claim to be Christians, if we claim to love one another, and if we claim to be there for one another, that we're all on the same page. There's not an age limit. There's not a height that you have to reach. It's just freely there. Anybody and everybody that loves God and follows His commandments can do this. And it's one of the easiest things to do, as I said earlier. So, we can be the encouraging to others. As iron sharpens iron, we're able to build up one another. If you see somebody low and uninspired, talk to them. They will be inspired, because the love of the Lord is going to pass on, that's incorruptible, that will be able to show such greatness to one another and inspire to want to go out and do something, you know. And one of the great things is eventually we want to do something to keep that inspiration and say that we are committed to being encouragers, to being go-getters, okay? And we can see that in Colossians 2, 1 through 15. Colossians chapter 2. There it goes. Electronics don't always work as easy as you think they do. All right, Colossians chapter 2, 1 through 15, and I'll try to read really quick. For I want you to know how great a struggle I have for you, for those at Laodicea, for all those that have not seen me face to face, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knitted together in love, to reach all the riches and the full assurance of understanding and the knowledge of God's mystery, which is Christ, in whom all hidden treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And I say this in order so that no one can delude you in implausible arguments. For though I am absent in body, yet I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see you in good order and firmness in your faith in Christ. Therefore, as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and established in your faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. See that no one takes you captive by philosophy or empty deceit, according to human tradition, and according to the elements, spirits, and of this world, and not according to Christ. For in Him the whole fullness and deity dwells bodily, and you have been filled in Him. And who is head of and rule of all authority. In Him also you will be circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with Him in baptism, in which you are also raised in Him through faith in the powerful working of God, who raised Him from the dead. And you who are dead in your trespasses and this uncircumcision of your flesh, God has made alive together with Him, and having forgiven us of all our trespasses by canceling out the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands, he set aside, nailing it to the cross. He disarmed the rulers and the authorities to put them open to shame by triumphing over them in him. So as we go and we find that we can be inspired and that we can call that us to action and be able to encourage one another as we're going through that, we know that obviously that also there's a first step, a step that says, I want to be in that group. I want to be in that club. I want to be a part of this amazing, inspirational, encouraging life that we call Christianity. And that first step ends up being hearing the word and then believing the word and then being baptized and then living a faithful and Christian life. So if there's anyone here that wants to join and become and be inspired, come as we stand and sing.
When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory!